everyone. Okay, welcome back to the Flaws of Attraction podcast. I'm here. Okay, so it's a busy night for me. It's a Friday. I'm putting up this episode late on the later half of the week, and I have some stories to report to you guys from this past week. So I'm very excited. I'm sitting here. I always introduce myself this way. I'm sitting here with a candle burning, even though it's a speedy night for me. I'm actually going to be hopping on a flight to Vancouver just for the weekend, just for fun. So the biggest luxury ever. Flair was having discounted flights. They were doing 100% off of base cost for flights. So some of their flights were like $7 or $9. I don't know if I actually ended up getting the deal because like their flights are always so cheap. And I can actually kind of rough it. Like, I don't mind going with just a backpack. I don't mind, like, you know, like, just sitting there. A lot of people have complaints about Flair, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, like, the baggage. I just get a carry-on, and then I try and book, like, late flights, I guess. So my total cost for my trip, round trip to Vancouver for the weekend is $130. I also, like, didn't add any baggage in there, so I'm just bringing a backpack with my clothing, a journal, a notebook, and maybe a book. Who knows if I'll even get to reading a book, to be honest. So, yeah, my flight leaves tonight at, like, 11. I have been, like, needing to sit down and film this, record this amazing intro to a very special podcast. But the week has totally slipped away from me. I'm just kind of getting back into a rhythm over like the past couple of months, getting back into working out. I went to Legree twice this week and it was like so hard. I love Legree. Legree is like my favorite thing. Maybe I'll do it in Vancouver. Maybe I should bring some workout clothing. The reason I'm going to Vancouver is for like my freaking mental health, I guess, because the seasonal depression, that's so real. And especially because of the past couple months with so much transition for me, I've just decided to like try and get out of town at least once per month if possible. So yeah, going to go visit my friend Larissa. I get to see Joji, her puppy, who's not a puppy, I guess it's a dog. And I'm gonna meet up with my friend Simran. I'm so excited. And then, so basically, Tara Tang, if you have listened to my episode with Tara, I interviewed her. And I'm literally so obsessed with this woman. She's stunning. She's also, I mean, that's not like why I'm obsessed with her, but she is beautiful. I listened to her for the first time on the Goddess Grey podcast with Brenda Marie Davies, like way back when during the pandemic. And so she was making commentary about that. And she's an embodiment coach. So I've always wanted to work with her. She helps survivors of purity culture get back and find their bodies. And so I've always wanted to do something with her. And she's like just decided to restart her women's circles in person. And I was like, oh my God, like if you ever ran one in Vancouver, I would love to come work with you in Vancouver. But also like I could only probably go if the flights were really cheap. So yeah, that's why I'm going. So on Saturday night, I'm going to go to that. My friend Larissa is coming. And then Tara told me that like actually another, like, I don't know, like, followers of hers, I guess, is flying from Calgary as well to go to this workshop. So, very cool. I'm really excited about that. Sunday's just going to be super chill, and it's, you know, going to be really great change of pace. Last weekend was a long weekend, and the start of my weekend was really hilarious to some people. To other people, it's very liberating. So, essentially, how do I even start the story? I ended up being in a room full of strangers butt naked. So, okay, before you're like, what? Let me just rewind a little bit. I have been told from some friends about this incredible healer, kind of like same vibes of Tara Tang, named Kirby. And Kirby is from Saskatchewan. And she was coming down for the week. And I'd reached out to her to be on the podcast. So I believe she will be in the future. Anyway, we have not been able to align on a date for that episode quite yet, but she invited me to her woman circle, and I was like, okay, yeah, of course, I've been to the Moon Mystics, I'm going to another moon circle, like, it's the season of moon circles. I guess I'm getting kind of witchy. So it's the season of circles for me, so just, like, trying to spend some time in self-reflection, put myself in community, and she invited me out to two events last week because she was in town for the week, and I got to meet Kirby. And one of them was called Naked Cake. So me being me, and with this podcast and the types of guests that I want to bring on, I was like, 100% sign me up for like whatever you're doing in town without reading the context. And I should have known by the title, Naked Cake, that there was nudity involved, but life usually is pretty meta. So when I read the words Naked Cake, I just thought vulnerability. And I thought, oh, like, we'll probably do some sharing in a circle of strangers, which I'm all about. I love vulnerability. I think it really unites people. So anyway, last Thursday night was Naked Cake, and I told my friends at work, I was like, I'm gonna go to Kirby's event, Naked Cake, and they were like, do you know what you're getting into? And I was like, nope. I was like, I think I'm open to anything, but like, I think it's just a woman's circle. So the night came, and it was really cold outside. I think it was like a blizzard, or maybe not a blizzard, just like extremely cold. And I drove out to go to Naked Cake, and I was sitting there in this group of strangers, and it was at this person's house, really warm living room, and we were sitting there, and Kirby introduced what we were doing, and she was like, yeah, so like some people have done this before, like for some people it can feel very awkward. And then one of the girls was like, yeah, like this is my third time doing this, and like at first it was really awkward, and like this whole time I'm like, are we getting butt naked? Is that what this is? And so I had no idea. Kirby like led us through this little meditation. It was like you sat there with your eyes closed, and she was asking us if we were ready for this. And this whole time I was like, I don't know what I've done, but I have paid to be here to work with Kirby, and I think we will be getting butt naked. So yes, that's what happened. I ended up being like, oh my god, I don't think I like knew 100% what was going on, but I'm here. And she was like, well, you don't have to participate if you don't want to. And I was like, yeah, like I am so down to get butt naked. So yeah, we like stripped completely nude. There was five of us. Like, I have not met any of these girls before. This was my first time meeting Kirby. So this was like such a fun experience for me. And Kirby started off the conversation by just having us talk about female relationships and our friendships in our past. And we went around and she kind of like let us have the space to candidly speak and share what was happening in our lives to a group of strangers, and you just kind of had like as much airtime as you wanted to share. So it was really powerful. Like, I got to hear five different women's stories about the things that have been hurting them from their other female relationships in the past little bit, and it was really interesting and sad to hear, and like eye-opening and relatable. And then we also went around the circle and we shared something that we had done to hurt someone else. And that was like probably the most impactful thing was to, it wasn't like where we were sharing where we were like in our villain era. It was more so we were sharing about like times that we have been the villain in people's stories. And that was also really eye-opening because like I'm definitely not perfect, and some of the stories were like less intense than others and all the things, but like I've definitely hurt a couple people in my life. And so just reflecting on like these things and also hearing other people's stories that are so emotionally invested in these situations, and from a distance you just have a different perspective, or like you can like kind of see psychology of what's going on. So yeah, that's my huge story about getting naked with a bunch of girls, like a bunch of strangers last Thursday. And yeah, it was great. I honestly left and I was like, why am I not naked all the time? It felt really cool. I am not confident with my body. The SIBO for me has been really debilitating. I'm very lumpy and curvy and all the things, even though a lot of people would think I'm like a stick. I have a body. We all have bodies. So it was interesting. Like, I think one thing that was really funny about the situation was like, at first you got naked and then it was really weird to like look. Like, you were like, I was just looking at people's heads. I wouldn't look at their bodies. And eventually it felt more casual to look at people's bodies. But like, it was really empowering to be like, wow, like this girl has this feature and this person has this feature. And I was like, yeah, I don't know why this is like so taboo. So I guess I will be joining a nudist colony soon. This episode is super special for me because I'm going to share a little bit about my experience with art school, art college, and my experience meeting my best friend Sarah, and now we actually work together. So it's been quite the journey. Art school is not something I've talked about yet, but I do think there's a lot of curiosity out there. And if you're someone who's like thinking about going to art school or has been going to art school, it's like just a really unique experience. And when I was at art school, there was a lot of me kind of grappling with my own religion and my religious beliefs because I was in such a progressive culture. I went to Alberta College of Art and Design, formerly called ACAD. Now it's called Alberta University of the Arts, I believe. And I did a 4-year degree in painting. And when I was there, that was my first kind of taste of being in the public system. So I've always grown up going to Christian schools, being at church, being told, being at camp, really being conditioned to be fearful of people that were in secular colleges. So it was my first experience at a secular college. I didn't need to go to art school to become a painter or an artist. However, it's not really about that. To me, the stuff that I learned at art school was so much more about developing constructive criticism and critical thinking, which is really funny that I was going through this huge religious experience and had no constructive thinking towards it. So basically by the end of my 4th year at ACAD, there was one class in particular, it was for photography, that I was attending, and we had a mix of first years and fourth years in the same class, and we would always do this thing called crits. So crits were basically days where our classes would be about looking at different work on the wall and talking about it critically. And so my teacher asked the first years to look at a piece and see what they to share what they saw in the piece and give criticism. And people were not able to do it. They didn't have the vocabulary. They didn't know how to look at an image. They didn't know to what questions kind of to ask. But I found that because I had been there for 4 years, there was a way that I was seeing things that was so, you could just see the growth between the years, I guess. So yeah, my 3rd and my 4th year were probably my favorite years at ACAD. We had our own separate studios. We were given a lot of freedom to be creative and to come up with our own practices. And the program was very heavily research-based. I think that everybody should do an art school program if you can, if that is something that aligns with you. It's just so incredible when it comes to having an emphasis on research and understanding history and culture, as well as the way that the world has developed. It's kind of the mix between the art history classes and the progressive ways of thinking. I just would never think like that if I hadn't gone to this school. And there's a part of me that wishes that I would still nurse this part of my brain, because I haven't really actively been in the art world since I left. I've been more in the marketing world, and the marketing world is really fast. So I feel like social media, content creation, TikTok, web design, newsletters, all of that, it's also a really cool space to be in. However, it's very different when it comes to having a foundation on research and then a foundation on just kind of the conceptual side of marketing. I haven't really heard that talked about before. So I loved it. I think in hindsight, it was amazing. But yeah, I was very dissociated when I was there because of my religious beliefs. I met my friend Sarah when I was in my 3rd year. And it was also because I was so deeply in my faith then that I was just I don't even know. You guys are going to hear about it in this episode. But we ended up hanging out, and I was really attracted, for lack of a better word, to my friend Sarah, because she's one, stunning, but also two, was really involved in some witchy spiritual stuff that I probably was suppressing myself from. So yeah, she was super into tarot and Wicca, and I thought that she was going to go to hell. So I was like, I better be friends with this girl so she can learn my ways. Turns out I had to learn her ways. So we hit it off really fast. It's funny, like my intention in friendship probably was like, I didn't realize that it probably was like more out of religiousness than anything, but like we became really good friends really fast. And I think like she is so incredible. She just kind of like made me see the world in a different way. I think that Sarah and our friendship has been really interesting. And going back to like my experience with Kirby, we talked about like female friendships and about the times where we've been a good bad and when we've been a good friend and a bad friend in certain situations. And I have to think about codependency and my experiences with friendships and my patterns and friendships. And I think I just feel really grateful that I think Sarah and I, even though I started with my religiousness, which is totally fine because we both have had a religious journey. Actually, Sarah ended up coming to church with me for a while and got really involved and was like really loving it and still considers herself a Christian and still has found a beautiful relationship with God. And I've been kind of more so like navigating, going through, pulling mine apart and finding what fits and still finding my love for God, even though I grew up with like so much conditioning around it. But our friendship was like one of the first friendships with a female that I've had that I felt like an equal to her in many ways, which is, I mean, my pattern in friendships has definitely been like more of a sidekick. I have really been a people pleaser in friendships before. I've always had a friend who was more popular than me. And I just feel like this is the first time I've had a female friendship that I feel like it's a very healthy friendship. And we've like been friends for a really long time at this point. She always inspires me. She's went off after ACAD to go to architectural school, and that like was a crazy experience for her. We just like I learned so much from her. I love her demeanor. I think that she is just so soft spoken but also comes with a lot of power, and I really love her, like her approach to family and the way that she cares for her family and her dog and her husband now. The way she shows up in friendship is so personable, and I really enjoy that. And I also love, like, I could talk so much good stuff about my friend, but I love that she has been such a consistency for me and that she just encourages me to be the best. Something that is really fun about Sarah is that Sarah is a personal style icon. Like, I've never seen anyone who's better style than her. I think she has a really cool approach to style, and it kind of reminds me of choose your character like neuroaesthetics, which is basically this term which means choosing who you want to be and showing up as that every day. So you'll never catch her looking like drab, for lack of a better word. Like, I'm always in sweats and like hanging out, and I like just like being chill and like feeling sporty and chill. But she like once she came to help me, I think she came like a couple weeks ago to help me move, and I was like, you look so amazing. She was like, no, I was like, we're at this restaurant getting food for lunch, like if you want to come. And she was like, I can't come because I'm wearing a sweatsuit. And then I saw her and I was like, that's not a sweatsuit, that's like a one piece like wonder, like you look so good. Anyway, she's got this incredible sense of style. She's curated herself, and the way that she carries herself through life is really, really cool. So I wanted to have her on this episode because, one, obviously she's my best friend, so she needs to be on the podcast. But two, she has helped me so much in dating and friendships and relationships. I love her approach to styling her life and choosing her character / like quantum leaping into the character that she wants to emulate. And now we work together, so we talk about our career journeys as it is that we've come to work together. So it's been really interesting to just be with her in the workplace all the time. It's been really fun. I get to like see a whole different side of her, and a side of me that's different in our friendship has come out, which is cool too. And like, I just have the utmost respect for her. So please go give her a follow. Then the last thing I wanted to share with you guys before I pass this. Okay, and now the last thing I wanted to say before we get to the show is that I am actually now on buymeacoffee.com. Yay! So you can send me a little coffee or a donation for this podcast. I will link the link below. Feel no pressure. However, yeah, this show, I do want to continue it. I think it's going to be great, but I don't think monetizing it at the moment makes sense. I don't think hosting ads on it makes sense for it right now. And I really would like to continue it. So in order to do so, I've opened a portal for some donations. So if you feel so inclined, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/j.t.tw. No, I lied. It's Flaws of Attraction. So I'm going to leave the link below. You can just click on it, send me a little coffee donation, or you can actually become a monthly subscriber. I think it's like a $5 a month subscription. So feel free to check that out if you feel so inclined. No pressure, but I would love that. And I also would love to ask for some reviews just so that this podcast can be seen and heard by other people, and some shares to your stories if you enjoyed any of the episodes. Thank you. So without further ado, here's my best friend, Sarah. Woo! Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Oh my God, so excited to have you on.
I'm so excited to be here.
I can't believe this is finally happening.
I know, me neither.
Sarah is my best friend.
I'm like nervous. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure some good stuff is going to come out of it.
Totally. I mean, we can begin with a little bit. Okay, we always have to start with what your astrology is, Enneagram, whatever you want to share about.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know a lot about astrology, but I do know I'm a Cancer sun, an Aries moon, and a Leo rising. And it's funny because we're kind of foils of each other in a lot of things. And so what are yours?
I am an Aries sun, Cancer moon, Sagittarius rising.
Okay.
So we're really similar because we just flip from sun to moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was crazier was that I guess for a while we thought we were the same Enneagram or something.
We thought we were flipped Enneagrams, but it was just because I'm...
Oh, yeah.
I'm a nine, and I just I hang out with a lot, so.
Yeah, she, like, more, but also, when nines are not in a good place, they go to three, and I am a four with a three wing, so we thought you were a three with a four wing, and so we were just like, this is inception.
Oh, I didn't realize that when nines are unhealthy, they become a three. Yeah. I thought that I was a three because I was hanging out with a bunch of threes.
No, they moved to three.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure. I'll have to look that up to double check.
Yeah.
But that's really cool.
Oh.
Yeah, because there's a lot of backstory we have to share. But Sarah and I met at Arts College.
Yeah.
And then later she went off. I don't want to give it all away. But she went off to architecture school and was just sleeping in a closet.
Literally.
And trying to keep up with the threes.
Yes.
And what became a three.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened.
Keep it back to astrology quick.
Okay.
So you are a Cancer sun.
Yes.
And how do you feel about that?
I think so. Growing up, I was always like, I'm not a Cancer. I'm nothing like a Cancer. I was like very, I guess I'm close to being a cusp of Leo. I think it switches on the 23rd and my birthday is July 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was like close, and I was like, oh, maybe it's just a mistake and I'm a Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've always really like resonated with a Leo, but I'm as I've gotten older, become more and more of a Cancer, like
mm-hmm.
I've just realized how introverted I really am.
Mm-hmm.
And that I like to just be at home and be calm, so
you know. And I feel like I see your astrology so well on you.
Yeah,
like you are, okay, your sun is a Cancer, so
yes,
you're totally soft-spoken, nurturing, mm-hmm. caring, you hermit, like all of those things, super motherly.
Mm-hmm.
And then internally, you have opinions, right?
Yeah.
That's like an Aries, it's like pretty blunt.
Right.
And you're like,
I make very quick, split judgments about people.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like, I hate them immediately or I love them immediately.
Well, usually that's when I'm dating someone tragic.
Yeah.
And I tell you one thing about them, and you're like, they're done.
I hate them.
You're like, yeah. I hate them.
And I'm like, that happens a lot, I guess, to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Leo, just like, it doesn't matter if it's like a cusp, I feel like, because you have a rising to Leo.
Yeah.
And okay, so if you guys have ever, like, you guys have to go and look at Sarah's Instagram right now, because
it's Sarah Croft.
And it's at Sarah Croft. Sarah is just like a really fashionable person, obviously, she also like emulates a lot of like, I don't know, like she attracts the spotlight, and I think Leo is really suiting to you as a rising, and even if you had it as a cusp, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm like quite a quiet person, and like I don't generally love being the center of attention per se, but like I do like, I have some Leo tendencies, so I do like, I love performing, like growing up I was a dancer and everything, so I liked that a lot, but
And you grew up doing pageants too, right?
I did do pageants. I wasn't like a pageant child. I wasn't that young. I was like 16, which I guess arguably is kind of still a child. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did it. So I did Miss Philippines Canada. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did it. It was like a really nice way to connect with my culture too. So my grandmother was Miss Karkar, which was the town she grew up in. Mm-hmm. And so pageants are like, they're kind of a really big thing in the Philippines too.
Oh, so interesting.
It's cool. Yeah, and I didn't have really any Filipino friends growing up. Mm-hmm. There weren't any other Filipinos in my schools. Mm-hmm. There were in high school, but not elementary. Mm-hmm. It's like mostly white people.
Can you hear that bass?
I can.
I wonder if it's going to come through, but just so you know, so just so everyone knows, like a little interjection, it's like 11 p.m. on a Saturday night, and I live over top of a club.
Yes.
And it's like, boom, boom. Okay, but back to your cultural upbringing and background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, like, nice, because then we'd, like, I was around a bunch of other Filipinos, and they would have, like, all the Filipino food and, like, snacks after all of our practices of how to walk in high heels and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it was great. It, like, also they would practice. Like, you had to do interviews with the judges. And I think if you're 16 and you're learning how to do, like, essentially a job interview, that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some things. Like, obviously, pageants are very problematic when you look at them now, but there was a lot of like positive experiences there for me.
You probably gained a lot of like confidence too in presenting yourself to the public so much.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So learned how to walk in heels, how to like speak in public, we did a little like talent portion as well, which I was used to because I grew up dancing, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to share a little bit about your cultural upbringing here and like your experience with spirituality and religion?
Sure. So my ethnicity is, I am half Filipino. I'm going to kind of simplify it because it's a lot of European things, but like primarily Scottish and Swedish is what my dad is. So grew up mixed race. My mom moved from the Philippines when she was 7, so she doesn't speak her language really. So I never grew up, I don't understand Tagalog at all.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom doesn't speak it. She can understand it. So it's kind of interesting when like she's talking to my grandparents, she responds in English. But yeah, Filipinos are also traditionally very Catholic, so I grew up Catholic, but then also my dad wasn't Catholic, so we would go to many different kinds of churches. So we went to the Salvation Army for a time, we went to a Lutheran church for a time. Mm. What Center Street Church do you know?
I think like non-denominational, maybe?
Okay, so went to non-denominational church.
Yeah. Which I feel like is a scam of a word. To call, be like, I'm just not a denomination, and thus we are a denomination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So a lot of like Christian upbringing. And when I went to art school is when I started to really experiment with different spirituality. I tried going to a Buddhist temple for a while. I got kind of really into Wicca. I wasn't in like a real coven, which I've learned recently is like an actual like
I don't know if they're really like thing. Accredited or, but like there's like people that oversee what a real coven is or not. Right. But I had some friends that we would just do moon circles every full moon and new moon and celebrate the solstices and play with Ouija boards.
I'm terrified. Yeah. I'm sorry. I will. Sorry. There's a lot of things that I will do. And like, that is the one thing I mean, I just can't.
I'm obsessed with ghosts. I'm so scared of them, but so obsessed with them.
I just like that sound on TikTok of like the ghost in the background of the photos where it's like that bell and it's like ding, ding.
Oh, I don't know.
It's the one we watched the other day at Summit. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was like the I can see you. Not really a singer, as you can tell. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah.
God, that's loves ghosts. Love ghosts. So, okay, spiritually is so interesting. So, like, I want to know a little bit about when you transitioned from your house upbringing and house spirituality to interest in other spiritualities.
Yeah, and I can't even pinpoint a moment, or I don't really have a memory of when that changed.
Oh, interesting.
I think, like, when I was in high school was when I went to the non-denominational church.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, it was like, I was like partying. I was like hooking up with boys and drinking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girls would be like, I sinned because I lied about brushing my teeth to my mom. And I was like, I just had sex with a boy in the back of a truck. Like, it was just, like, so I couldn't relate to them, like, at all. Like,
yeah.
It was just, like, a very different. I don't know. I just always felt like I couldn't really connect with church people.
Right.
And so I think that, like, during high school, I was just kind of, like, checked out. I always felt, like, on the outside circles, even though I was, like, in a youth group and I had, like, a little... I don't know why there's like many youth groups within like the big youth group or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I never was that close with any of them. They still hang out. Like I see them.
And you're like, that's on that social group media, but like they all are brushing their teeth.
I'm just like never
squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so bad compared to them. And I was like, we just live different lives. Mm-hmm. And like, then I also went to Catholic church with my mom and the girls. They were very sweet that I went to, and they were like homeschooled, and I became friends with them. And like, I remember for her 16th birthday, we like made aprons. And so that was also very different from like where I was. Cause I don't know. I think I did all my partying really in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like drinking so much and like.
Right. Like having that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then by the time I got to college, I feel like I was more tame.
You're like, I'm tame and wearing black furs.
Yes.
Yes. So, okay. Well, okay. When you went, so you went to the same school that I did. This is how we met.
Yeah.
Story of how we met. I feel like I used to see Sarah around the school all the time and she was so beautiful and cool. Yeah. And I was like, that girl's so cool. I want to be friends with her one day. And I was like really involved in my Christianity and spirituality. And I felt like at the time, this is so weird that you've heard this before, that like God was like highlighting certain people to me. So I just like there was people that I would pray for like outside of school and stuff. And it would be so weird. Like there was this one girl named Amy. And I just remember thinking she was so cool, but she was like kind of new agey. And I thought that was wrong because of whatever I was going through.
Yeah.
And so I would just like pray for her all the time. And then one day out of the blue, she texted me this huge message. And it was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like you've changed my life. Like, and it was like crazy. So anyway, I thought this was like how I just needed to pray for all these random people that I thought were cool. So Sarah was like walking around and I was like, she's so cool, but she needs the Lord.
Yeah. I was really witchy at that time.
Yeah, you were super witchy. And so anyway, we ended up being placed in the same studio beside each other. So maybe the prayer worked and we like became friends that way.
Yeah.
And I never like was like, come to church with me or anything. I didn't do that. But you like one day came up to me and you were like, I would like to come to church with you.
Really?
Yeah. You were like,
wow,
I used to go to church and I haven't been in a while. And I know that you go. Like, can I come? And I was like,
So interesting.
I was like, cool.
It's so weird that I don't remember that moment, but I guess that would make sense. I was like very into like exploring every like spiritual avenue that I could too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of what started our friendship. It was like a combination of like ACAD, which is where we went to school. And like, what were you studying? Do you want to tell the audience?
I was studying drawing at the time. Yeah. So, but I actually didn't do much drawing at all. I used to draw a lot before art school. But I was doing a lot of like found object sculpture. I was really into like more conceptual art.
So. My favorite project you ever did was Natural Real Supreme Eats a Crunchwrap Supreme.
I did some very serious work.
So Natural Real Supreme was Sarah's art duo with her friend Sean.
Yeah.
And they would dress and they were into like natural structures and
did a lot of stuff like everything was like pretty on the fly. It was like inside jokes but like made into like, performance art.
So her and Sean decided to inchworm across the floor towards a Crunchwrap Supreme and eat it front of
with our hands studio behind our people. Back. Yeah, so we literally, it wasn't even, it was a performance, it was an auditorium.
Oh, it was like, there was like a booking for it. Like people were like, there was like coming to watch you guys on this live performance.
So we just like, we laid on our stomach and inchwormed towards each other without the use of our hands.
Okay.
They were behind our back. And there was a Crunchwrap Supreme in the middle of the stage.
And if you guys don't know what a Crunchwrap Supreme is. Crunchwrap Supreme is a taco from Taco Bell.
Yes. They're very delicious.
Yeah.
Do recommend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, getting back on track to spirituality, because we really went left there.
Yeah.
You were involved with, like, some Wicca and some, like, astrology and stuff back then. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, where did your journey take you?
And then when we sort of connected, I came back to the church. For a while,
yeah.
And we were going to a evangelical church. Okay, didn't even know the denomination, but yeah. So we went to an evangelical church for quite a while, like in probably up until COVID.
Yeah,
I was really like in that church, and I didn't really leave until COVID, and then things about the church really came to light for me that were like icky, and that's the best description I have.
Right.
But yeah.
But I've always loved like watching you grow into your spirituality even before then, because like I feel like I was like, oh my gosh, Sarah needs Jesus back when I like hadn't deconstructed.
Yeah.
And then I started to deconstruct and you were like, I really align with like the morals of what's being taught here. And you're like, this is what I'm relating to right now. And like, we've both grown so much in the past 2 years and been like so open-minded. And I think like, I've always been like, it's funny, like I brought you here and now I'm walking away and like, but you're your own person. Like I'm not responsible. Like you are your own person. Like you get to make your choices.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, and I think lately, like, there is a church that I've been going to that I still really like. I switched. It feels much safer. They're LGBTQ affirming, which is a big one for me. But at the same time, too, I've been getting back into my witchy era.
Yeah, we go to... Okay, there's so much to tell you guys. There's, like, so much background story. We really want to talk tonight about our art journeys and our experience, like, being in the creative industry, but we spend a lot of time together now because I recently joined the same marketing team that Sarah's on.
Yes.
At my new role in the beauty salon supplier district. I actually don't have the time. I can't say there's too many words.
I know. And like people always ask me what I do and I'm like, oh, I work in like wholesale beauty distribution.
Yeah, it's like five
words. But then it's like, so now I just say I work in marketing. I think it's easier to tell people.
Yeah.
But it's the beauty industry.
Yeah.
So it's super fun to do marketing for.
It's so fun. So we spend a lot of time and there's this one place called The Divine Mine.
Yeah.
It's down in like the south end of Calgary and it's like a gem store. And so Sarah's been mining the gem store.
I go and get my crystals at lunch and my different herbs to perform spells. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun.
It's been fun. Yeah. So do you want to share about your artistic journey and what art means to you?
Sure. So I guess like we said, well, I mean, I've drawn my whole life as a kid. I think when I was a child, a lot of my drawings were just related to clothing that I wish I could have. I never, like, my parents never bought me anything really new. I can remember getting 2 new shirts in my whole childhood. Wow. And I remember what they looked like exactly and stuff. And I don't really remember getting anything else new. I was always very small for my age, so I got all my friends' old clothes. Mm-hmm. I think that was why. So I'd get everything like a year or two later than when it was cool. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why personal style is so important to me now.
Right.
But yeah, so I used to draw a lot of my outfits that I wished I could wear. And I did a lot of drawing. I took an art class in high school, and I really loved it. And then one of my friends in that art class was applying to ACAD. Mm-hmm. And he was like, let's go to the open house and just check it out. And then that's, like, I very last minute applied there.
Really?
Yeah. So I'd also applied to UFC for nursing and gotten...
Nursing?
Gotten in. I would have died as a nurse. A, I'd have to wear a scrub every day.
Like, what?
But also...
I can't find black scrubs.
I'm a very... like emotional person, yeah. And that would have destroyed me. I just know it. Like,
yeah,
I don't think I could. You have to be a very like strong person, I think,
yeah,
to be able to handle that. Yeah. So it was that or nursing. Mm-hmm. So my life could have gone 1 or 2 ways. Mm-hmm. Did the art school. I loved art school. Art school was very much for me just about like honestly self discovery. Mm-hmm. Like I think it gave like permission to really like delve deep into like. Create my own identity, date some artists, and then go through horrible breakups and yeah. Wear black for the rest of my life. And I still wear black.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing. I did in November of 2011 go through a breakup. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, I'm going to fully reinvent myself. Mm-hmm. And then wearing only black was a part of that. Mm-hmm. But it was also a part of my artistic practice because all of my artwork was very monochrome and didn't involve a lot of color either at that time.
Right.
Before Natural Real Supreme. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like art school was incredible, especially for you. I think it brought up a lot of stuff in me, and I wish that I had the same tools that I have now, like back then, to see yeah. what was popping up. And I really think like everyone should do an art degree.
I think so too. I think it really helps you like learn so much about yourself.
Yeah.
It's just all about your self-reflection and like your psyche. Like, why did you make that decision?
Yeah.
And like really delving in with a group of 10 people.
Yeah.
And like, this is why did you make this decision? Why did you make mm-hmm. this decision for every single mm-hmm. piece of your artwork?
I had no idea I was doing like that. We were doing art therapy, really. Like, yeah. I feel like we were at least my program. So I was in the painting side of things, and it was a little different than drawing.
Right.
My faculty was really pushing this notion of when you display something in the white box, it needs to be, it's a universal language. So you have to consider every like piece of the language that is being represented, because once it's up there, it has a mind of its own. Like mm-hmm. it lives based on the interpretation of the viewer, not necessarily right. your intent of the piece. Okay. So I loved that. But I also remember like doing a lot of personal projects and being like, oh yeah, I made this because of this. And like, and I feel like dancing between those two concepts was really like mm-hmm. the biggest thing we came back to. Like right. when we were doing crits, which were
your intent versus the viewer's interpretation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we talked about that so much. And now being in the marketing world, we like marketing worlds move so fast typically. And so, but the job that we're at is a great pace. So I feel like I can kind of apply some of that stuff now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about visual communication. So yeah. It carries forward into what we're doing now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sarah is an art director now, mm-hmm. and that's really cool. And there was a million steps to get to this place, but would you want to share about
that? So after art school, I worked in retail for about a year. I really didn't mind. It just wasn't going to be the career for me, but I met some great people during that time. Mm-hmm. And then I applied to go into architecture school, and I did my master's in architecture at the University of Calgary.
And that program almost killed you.
It literally did. It was very difficult. So first year I was sleeping probably 3 hours a night, if that. And Jill, when she mentioned at the beginning, that I was sleeping in a closet, there was a closet at my school. So I brought my sleeping bag because I didn't want to waste half an hour driving home and half an hour driving back. So I was like, oh, I can get an extra hour of sleep if I just sleep at school.
Okay, so we need to explain to the viewer, like, are you just neurotic or, like, was this the program?
I think not everyone did it that extreme, but everyone did at least, like, probably overnighter? All-nighter is the word that we're looking for.
Yeah.
One all-nighter per month. Like, it was very normal. There was a point that I stayed up for 4 days.
That's, clinically not okay.
No, it's not. And it's actually, not very productive, and I hadn't figured that out yet. But on the fourth day, I did a presentation, blacked out. I have no idea what I said during my presentation. no memory.
And then, that was scary.
And then crashed, went to sleep. But then you have to get up and do it all over again. It was 3 years. The architecture school mentality is very much like that.
Yeah.
Architecture students do more hours of work than any other, major you can do.
Right, because it's just, you have to actually come up with... It's kind of like art school. Art school is really labor intensive. It's like you get the assignment, but then you have to actually create it.
Totally.
And it seemed like that was the case for architecture too.
Yeah. It just, the pace was so rapid. You'd have numerous, probably 4 to 5 projects due per week. So you're finishing a project and then you have to do an all-nighter to finish the next one and then do an essay. And it was just pretty wild. The third year, though, I kind of created more boundaries and I'd give myself at least 5 hours of sleep pretty much a night. So that really helped. I would I don't know. There was a lot of
stuff. 5 hours is just crazy to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a time that I would try to go to bed at 11 and I'd get up at 4. And then I would, from 4, try to get to school by 4:20. And then at 4:20 a.m. till 9, I had time to work.
And there was people there? Yeah.
Pretty much always. Yeah. So.
That's psychotic. I just remember watching Sarah go through this and being, so shocked.
It was very wild.
There was, a point where you couldn't even get food.
Yeah, so I stopped cooking because, that would take too much time. So to be the most efficient, I would just... eat meal replacements. And then they were later banned in Canada, the ones I was drinking, which is very alarming.
That's so scary.
But profs were oh, that's so great, good for you.
Really?
It's part that it wasn't seen as unhealthy. Mm-hmm. It was they're oh yeah, that's the culture, everyone has to go through this.
Really? That's so that's borderline culty. I didn't know that architect programs were just culty.
Very much, yeah. That's just the culture.
That's so fascinating.
And it's this studio culture perpetuates it. So I wonder if during COVID people worked less hours because they were working from home. It's when you're seeing everyone around you doing all-nighters and you're all in there together, staying up late, drinking 4 Red Bull.
You're normal. Just normal.
And you just have to do it to keep up because if you're getting more sleep, you're probably going to fall behind.
Right.
But it's not the case. My GPA went up substantially in the last year.
You were you're such a good student.
I definitely thrive in a school environment, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like learning. But ever since being out of that program, I've had so many boundaries. I think it really took a toll on me. And I'm just I want to be able to sleep.
I want to have just my work hours and have mm-hmm. them be separate from my life, which is really nice with where we're working now. Mm-hmm. They literally kick you out at 5 p.m. and you're not allowed to
work. You're like not allowed to work. It's amazing. It's yeah. so crazy for marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great that way.
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to like assume, and I think the viewers would assume, and the viewers, by the viewers, I mean listeners, would assume that your artistic practice probably like was non-existent when you were doing the architecture stuff too.
Yeah. No, really it wasn't. But in a way it was. Everything in architecture school, everything I did was like I still brought the conceptual art kind of ideas into my architectural projects. So I would create these like vast like futuristic worlds to design my projects within. Mm-hmm. So I would be like, it's the future mm-hmm. and everything's like everyone has these chips implanted into them and mm-hmm. it's like everything's like augmented reality
right.
and stuff. So I would create these really complicated narratives to build mm-hmm. my projects in.
Yeah.
And so I think that in that way, art school was still there. I think I just, at the end of the day, I just like telling stories. Mm-hmm. So architecture school was like another way of telling stories. And right. I just did everything I could to avoid designing a real building.
You're like, let me just skirt around
this. Let me just tell you a story.
That's kind of like how I felt about my journey with art school. Like I yeah. had some type of resistance to doing what I was told. Mm. And I felt like the teachers sometimes were like, you need to do this. And I'd be like, I don't want to. And I think that's maybe just the heart of an artist. Mm. But do you, like, you came out of there and you were in a placement for an architecture, like, co-op? Was it a co-op?
A firm.
A firm.
Yeah.
And how was your experience with that?
I think my experience was overall pretty good. I got along really well with my boss there, mm-hmm. and he was going to move to San Francisco to open up another branch of the firm. And I was, like, planning on also moving to San Francisco once they got some work down there.
It's so sad.
Yeah. But I ended up just like being like, okay, well, I need a job in between. And I don't, mm-hmm. I was feeling quite burnt out from those 3 years of right. intense architecture school. And I was like, I just want to do something different for a bit. So I just went on Indeed and looked for graphic design jobs. And then that's how I found the position that I'm at now.
Oh my gosh.
So it's primarily like graphic design.
Yeah.
But I love it so much. And there's like a lot less stress and pressure. And mm-hmm. it's just like perfect for like where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't handle. Here's the thing. If you're an architect and you make a mistake, I had a prof that said, if you're a doctor and you make a mistake, one person dies. If you're an architect and you make a mistake, 80 people die or hundreds of people die. And I was like, oh, God.
You're like, well, shit. So, okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Well, like, what's crazy about this, your journey to your current position, you know, being someone who's actively working as a graphic designer and an art director in the marketing world is that you and I both have very different journeys of how we got to the exact same space. Mm-hmm. And neither were right or wrong, you know, either one was, yeah, completely valid and different, but we both started at ACAD.
Yeah.
And we went different paths and we ended up being work buddies. I'm very excited.
I'm excited too. It's like so fun coming to work and obviously, you're one of my closest friends, and Janaea also is. Mm-hmm. Janaea is our third amigo that works in the marketing department mm-hmm. at Summit. Yep. And so it's just like coming to work and just like hanging out with your friends all day, which is amazing.
It's fun. And they obviously, we work.
We do work.
Like a lot. But yes. It just, yeah, it's been a great change of pace. But I want to actually talk about personal style for a little bit because sure. I think people, when they think of Sarah, people think a lot about the way that you present yourself in the world. And this might bring us back to like the Leo kind of stuff a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share about your experience styling yourself?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned that when I was
young, I used to draw myself, and I used to draw all the outfits that I wished that I could have. So personal style has always been something that's really been on my mind for my whole life that I can remember. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm like a fashion girly per se, because I'm not all that knowledgeable, and I don't tend to like follow the fashion world so much. Like, I don't watch a lot of like haute couture shows, and I don't know like what spring summer Yves Saint Laurent was, and I don't know all these. It's pretty hard to keep up with all the niche little brands that have come up through, like, because TikTok just like so much over
saturation. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I just, more than loving fashion, I love personal style. So that is definitely, it's always been something that's important. Like I mentioned, for those of you that don't know me, when I went through my, I went through a big breakup in November of 2011, and I switched all my clothes to only wearing black. Mm-hmm. I've only worn black since then, so it's been 11 years of only wearing black.
That's so amazing. So congrats. It's
pretty wild.
And like, you know when people say that they only wear black, but like they have a little bit of gold and stuff in there, and like, no, like Sarah's like very specific.
Only black.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very specific even about like tones of black that I like. If it's a little bit too navy, I can't do it.
No.
But then I also will only wear silver metals. Mm-hmm. So all of my jewelry is all silver or white gold, but only silver color. So I don't know. I'm always really like, I put a lot of thought into my personal style and how I choose to present myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. It's like, it's a really huge art form. Like, it's a huge piece of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think like people, when they think of Sarah, they know like, oh, that's the girl who like has her hair in this like like, you know. And the fun thing about Sarah is that Sarah will like find something and just stick to it. And what I'm realizing is it's not maybe just in style, it's also like in lifestyle. So like we're at work lately, and she's doing this thing where she wants to like optimize the amount of money she spends on food. So her budget per day on food is like $3. And so what I'm seeing is she's like got this like structure of like,
yeah,
I will eat for $3 a meal, mm-hmm. save money for my personal style and things. And then I don't know where I'm going with this, but I just think there's like these quirks, like you'll like have the same hairstyle for like a year, and then all of a sudden it will switch like overnight. And then it's like that same style for the next 2 years.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's like weird eras. So like if I switch something, like say a hairstyle, mm-hmm. I can't really ever go back to the other mm-hmm. one. I don't know. It just feels very wrong.
Yeah. You're like, that part of me is done.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's an evolution of who you are every time you like quantum leap?
I mean, it could be. It's not always a conscious thing. But I mean, it was when I decided to wear all black
originally.
Yeah, that was like a conscious decision. And also I was like surrounding myself with like black obsidian crystal and everything. Mm-hmm. So like all my crystals were black, mm-hmm. and I just like felt like I needed that protection, and mm-hmm. wearing all black was another way mm-hmm. of healing for me. Yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought of it that way, but that's an interesting take.
Well, I remember us walking one day and we were talking about the way that you dress is how you are presented to the world.
Yeah.
And, like, do you consider that when you change in the mornings, or is it kind of just, like, an overall?
Yeah, no, I definitely think about that. Like, mm-hmm. maybe that's the Leo in me, but I like to mm-hmm. present myself a certain way and be perceived a certain way. But I also don't feel like I fully dress for others. I think a lot of it is, like, for myself with my own specific interests, and mm-hmm. I play with different silhouettes and stuff that like I find interesting, because I can't play with color, because that's just a rule that I made for myself.
Right.
But yeah, no, I've definitely, actually coming to think of it, when you're talking about like quirks, like my whole art school thesis was about like living by rules and formulas. So I would be like, for a successful art piece, it needs mm-hmm. a title, an object, and like mm-hmm. everything was like so structures. Formulaic. Yeah. Which is, I guess, kind of same with like my personal style, the specific rules. So it's, no one's telling me I can't wear color. That's just a rule that I have, but now I can't break it. Like,
yeah,
it would feel horrible.
You're like, that's not, it's just like not gonna happen.
Like, I can't.
It's so funny that you mentioned the thesis, because like I forgot about that, but NC said that I was like, oh, I wrote a thesis, and I was like, mine was on loops.
Oh. And it's funny because, like, I was someone who loves psychology. Of course, it's all about loops. Like,
loops. And cycles. Yeah. And patterns.
Yeah. That's, like, what I wrote about. But I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I wonder if you guys can hear all the men on the street
just yelling.
Cigarettes and screaming right now. That's crazy. Oh. Okay, well, speaking of art school again and our dating stories, like, Sarah and I have very different experiences with dating, and it's really interesting because, like, obviously on this podcast we talk about purity culture and ton, and I feel like it really tainted my experience at art school. Like, I was like a blind bat when it came to dating. I was like, do not look at me, do not talk to me.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like didn't let anyone talk to me. I was like, nope. But I had like an agenda. My agenda was not to date anyone at art school, but yeah, that's not what you were doing.
No, I was dating everyone at art school.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I've like always, I was telling Jill too, like ever since preschool, I had two boyfriends, Kevin and James, and they both, we would just always, I'd be like, don't worry, you both can be my husbands.
Whammy.
And like, I don't know, I always really, I was a bit of a boy crazy girl growing up.
Yeah.
I definitely, and like I said, in high school, like was hooking up with boys and then going to church on Sunday and listening to people talk about how they sinned and didn't brush their teeth or something.
Yeah, it was just nuts.
Yeah.
So when you were like going through your breakup, and I know like you started to just wear black, but like it's like your breakup became your lifestyle or something, or you like used it as like a muse. Like,
I don't know.
How did that happen?
I think that so with that specific relationship, it was a very codependent relationship.
Right.
And I put so much of my identity into being this person's girlfriend or partner. Mm-hmm. And then I was like so lost when we broke up. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to make myself up into a whole new person. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that came down to personal style. I think I also just really grew as a person, became a lot more independent. I've never been codependent with a person since that relationship. I'm like, even with my husband now, we're very independent. Like, we'll do our own things and I don't need to do everything with him. And obviously we like to spend time together, but I think that both of us really value our independence and coming together at the end of the day to like share our different experiences with each other, which is really nice.
Totally.
Yeah.
When you were dating, did you date multiple people? Like your kindergarten crushes?
I've never really like dated two people at once. No, like if I'm with someone, I'm with them. But I've definitely like been casually dating multiple people at once, if that makes sense.
Right, totally.
Yeah, but not while I'm in a relationship. Okay, yeah, but like, yeah, no, definitely have had sort of casual dating situationships and stuff.
I ask Sarah all of my dating questions because I'm just a dating novice and now I'm going through breakup.
Yeah.
So now I have to ask for breakup advice.
Enter your hot girl summer era.
We're entering the villain era. The country.
The villain era. I love it.
I talked about like how I was in the country girl era, but now I'm broken up with. So now I'm my villain era. So yeah. When I say villain, I just think of the octopus from Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Poor unfortunate souls.
Oh, I love her.
I'm just going to embody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm embodying Ursula right now.
Yeah.
It's really flattering on me.
Okay.
But why? Because she's such a villain.
Yeah.
She's got like the right colors. Like she's got like that purple skin tone. And she's got the black. And she's just like, I don't know. I just think.
I think that like, There's so many other ones that look.
Okay. I just have to tell this story really quick.
Okay.
Okay. Sometimes I do this thing where, like, my brain jumps to, like, very specific things, and I, like, don't fill other people in about how fast I got there. So, like, at art school, there's this thing called Thursden at the UC on Thursday night. And Thursden is like a bar thing, and then basically, like,
I think one day, Jill, you came up and you were like, do you guys want to go to, was it Thurs Coop? And everyone was like, I don't know what Thurs Coop is. But Jill was like, well, of course, Thursden, foxes live in dens. Foxes eat chickens, and chickens live in coops. So it's obviously Thursden. And I was like, that's so many jumps without explaining to us.
Because there was chicken wings or something. Like, there was some type of, like...
Oh, because...
There was a connection. The connection was we were going to go for chicken wings. And I was like, Thurs Coop. Because it's chickens.
Yeah.
But, like, it was a play on words for Thursden, which is an event that happened. Anyway, basically, like...
I see the thought process.
Thank you.
But I think you need to describe 12 years. 12 years later, I figured it out.
Anyway, back to dating.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah's just seen me heartbroken 5,000 times in a row. Oh. But I just, you know what's great about it is having your community, your support group, kind of walk you through it and see and help you with your patterns that I feel like... I mean, we were even talking today about how my previous breakups, I would be a mess. Like, Sarah would just see me just smashed to pieces. And, like, I think I'm just really grateful to have, like, friends in my life who can encourage me and watch me change, you know? And I think, anyway, yeah, back to dating. Like,
well, I think you're so good at, like, maintaining friendships. I've never met someone as extroverted as Jill. Like, you love to be around people, but then you're also so good at fostering friendships. Like, you're so good at reaching out to people, I feel like, and maintaining friendships. It's like I don't know anyone else that can do it.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. I feel like maybe I've just been terrified before. I think it's the people pleasing side of me that gets brought up, right? Like, I want people to feel loved, and I think sometimes I think it's my responsibility to make them feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like, no one else is. So that's interesting, because maybe there's a people pleasing side of it, which wouldn't be, like, it's not the worst thing in the world, you know.
But I never knew it was coming from that place.
Maybe.
Interesting.
I genuinely like to connect with people. Like, I genuinely like to connect with my friends and make sure they're fine and good. But, yeah, I guess I really want to ask you, like, tips on dating. Like, if you were to be trying to find your person, like, what type of parameters would you be looking for? Or, like, I think people don't know what to look for these days.
Yeah. I think that for me, I don't know. Jill knows this about me, but if someone doesn't like me, I hate them. Like, if I have a sense that someone doesn't like me, I'll immediately be like, okay, I hate this person. I'm not going to talk to them.
You're like, I'm done with that. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's to a healthy degree or not, but it does help with dating.
Right.
If I'm only ever really putting energy into people that I feel like really like me, but also I'm pretty communicative.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm pretty communicative when it comes to if I like someone, like, I have always been pretty upfront in letting them know.
Right.
So,
you know, there's, like, no games. You're not, like, waiting around for someone to be like, oh, I liked you. Like, I wanted him to say it first, that type of thing.
No.
Yeah. You're just.
Yeah. I usually will just say it. Mm-hmm. But again, too, it comes to, like, my attraction, that I'm only really attracted when I feel like someone also quite likes me.
Right. Like, you're reading the room.
They're expressing a lot of, like, interest in me, so then I just
I like you.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
I like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that, oh man, I feel so out of practice of dating because it's been,
I mean, you're married.
Like 8 or 9 years, but I was always like quite a flirty person too, though. Mm-hmm. So like, and it was funny because we were talking earlier that is that flirty or is that just being friendly? I don't know.
Right. Because you're like, the definition of flirty, it's not like, hey, you got a cute butt.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, like, hey,
how are you?
Like, you're interesting.
But I just find it so hard that like, you can't just genuinely be interested in someone without it coming across as flirty.
Yeah.
I remember sitting at Una with like a friend and he wasn't really a friend. He was just someone from art school actually. And we were sitting beside each other. And so I was like, well, I'm going to find out things about this person because I'm curious. Like, and I wasn't physically attracted to him or anything. And we had a really great chat. Like I got to really know him. At the same time, like I was sitting with a table of people and they were all like having other conversations. And after they were all like, hey, it looks like you really hit it off with that guy. And I was like, no, like I just was trying to get to know someone. Mm-hmm. And then behold on Tinder, one day I was swiping on Tinder and my friend just swiped for me and she matched him for me. And he was like, hi. And I was like, no, I'm so sorry. And then I blocked him. So now I'm a villain. That's my villain. Yeah.
Era. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it is. It's interesting. I think that one thing, yeah, when it comes to dating, sorry, just looping back to the previous, but
great.
I think the best advice would be not to do the games, but also really try to read the like energy of the other person because mm-hmm. I've like, some friends recently I've seen like really be interested in someone and the other person has been very much giving signs that they were not, but they continually pursue. I think that you have to really like feel it out and make sure that there's like an equal amount of interest from both parties.
What would you say if like you are in a relationship and that's happening where someone is like pulling back, do you, when you're like, because you are in a relationship, you're in a marriage. So when there's those times where people, it's really busy, like you can't connect with that person and you feel that person pulling back, like, do you pull back as well? Or do you like what would you do in that situation?
Right. I mean, for a marriage, I wouldn't really pull back.
No.
It's just like, we talked about this earlier today, but like, in my opinion, love isn't just a feeling. It's very much a choice.
Yeah.
So if you've like made that commitment, then you're like, you've chosen that you're going to work through everything with this person that you can. I mean, obviously I'm not saying that people should never get divorced or anything.
Right.
There's like definitely reasons for people to do that. But I think in a marriage situation, it's a bit different. I think when I was dating, I think I hadn't really made the choice to stay with any of the people. Mm-hmm. I was often like honeymoon phase at 2 years. I'm a serial monogamist, I'll admit, but like at 2 years for each boyfriend that I had, I would break up with them. I think it was because I felt that feeling disappearing, but at the end of the day, it's not really about that feeling. Like the feeling ebbs and flows and like it'll always come back, feel really strong, and you get the butterflies again. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just a regular day.
Right.
But if you've made that choice, then as long as, you know, like both parties are quite committed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess like it's different. Like when you're like marriage, being married versus dating is such different energetics as like to when you're reading the room and advocating for yourself versus like advocating for the relationship. Do you have tips for people who are in like a long-term committed relationship or a marriage and how to keep your independence and your autonomy?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting question. I think like making sure that you st- still maintain like your own interests quite a bit. Like it's good to learn a bit about the other person's interests. I mean, my husband's like really into sports and I'm not into sports.
The sacrifice must be made.
But I'll still like sit with him on the couch while he watches sports. Yeah. I think that in high school I would have pretended I liked sports and I was like, oh yeah, I love hockey. But
the Bruins.
Yeah. But I really like knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. So like just staying true to yourself and but making like a bit of an effort to like, you know, get to know, to try out some other interests. I tried softball, playing softball.
I know. Oh my gosh. And I went to watch you.
I felt like that's I was fighting night for my life out there.
Okay, but like the funny thing about the night that I went to watch you play softball was that was the night I discovered the pattern. So I really just went to sit on the bench and read the pattern while you played softball.
It wasn't very impressive to watch. So I think that you made the right choice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess over maintaining independence, there's that maintaining your own interests. And then also I think that really like gives you something to contribute to the relationship too. So as long as like, so if you're no, you don't both have all the exact same interests, it's like nice at the end of the day, you have something different to talk about and something different to bring to the table. I also think like still like doing things on your own. I'm quite an introverted person and I'm an only child, so I'm like fine to go somewhere by myself, but and maybe that's not for everyone, but I definitely will like just if Will doesn't want to do something, I'm very fine to just go do it by myself.
Yeah.
And I'll do it anyways. And so that's probably yeah. Just I mean, that might not work for everyone, but if it does work for you and you like to do things on your own, you don't need to wait for your partner to want to do something. You can just go and do it.
Yeah. Okay, so I've been really wanting to go rollerblading.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know how to break. So I don't go rollerblading because I really wanted my partner at the time or a friend to come rollerblading with me and teach me how to freaking break. Ugh. But I think I'm going to try and do it by myself because I every day I'm like, I just want to go around the reservoir and listen to a podcast and like be on the blades, like take me to the 70s. So anyway, no, I think that's amazing advice. I think all of that makes sense. And I think you have had a lot of experience, you know, kind of finding the ebb and flow of your personal style and personal, like your personal interests in dating and in marriage. And I think it's just really cool to see you like go from a dating relationship into a marriage and how that has helped develop your character and who you are now and the space and the kind of sabbatical energy you give yourself to rest after your crazy time at art school and architecture school. But do you have any like healing practices or spiritual witchy practices that you're really into right now that are like your kind of thing?
Yeah, I've been like really rediscovering tarot lately. I just love it as a tool for self-reflection. I love just, you know, pulling a card and then journaling based on like my current situation. I just think they're great journal prompts as well.
Totally.
Yeah. So I think that that's something that I've been really into and I really want to get better at. So pretty much every card I have to Google at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'd love to get to a place where I didn't have to. I've been trying to read them intuitively first too and just see what I get from the cards and then afterwards looking it up.
Do you find that you can like read it kind of?
Yeah, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Not too bad. It's surprising. I watched a YouTube video. I don't remember whose video it was, but it was about how to read them intuitively and I think it really helps quite a bit. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, that has been great. Mm-hmm. And then I recently, because of the divine mind, I've been wanting to get into more like spell work. So that has been, it's really fun. I think it gives also a sense of control in a situation where you feel like you don't have much control. Like, I just feel like you can put so much like intention into it. And yeah, it really gives you that sense of like control over something.
You know what I just realized we have to do this week?
What's that?
a breakup spell.
Let's do it.
We need to do,
what is it called? Like a severing,
connection sever spell. I don't, there's a word for it.
Okay.
I did one my last breakup and I had a cord cutting ceremony.
Yeah.
With my friend, and she led me through a prayer because I was still attending church at the time. It was still very helpful.
Yeah.
And we did this amazing prayer and did a help. Not until I trimmed my synapses in my brain with synapses. What is it? Pruning your synapse. I forget what it's called. But basically what you do, try not to reinforce your synapses by thinking about the person and thinking of the memories over and over and over again, because like it just creates a wider web. You want to start the pruning process. The pruning process is where you deliberately try and distract yourself and do reprogramming work to get into those memories and correct them. But yeah, that's what was helpful, because I did the cord cutting ceremony and then I kept thinking about my ex, so it didn't really work. But I do think that they can work. I've heard some crazy, crazy podcasts on it. Like, sometimes people will do cord cutting ceremonies. Like, for example, there was this woman and she was doing one with her mom because her mom was quite, like, abusive. And the second that she did it, her mom like calls her phone and it's like, what has happened?
Really?
Yeah. And it was like, it's energetic, right? Because, yeah. And I remember also like in this podcast, it was really cool. They had you close your eyes and like imagine what the cord looked like between you and that person. And like, you just trust what would come to your brain. So I did it. And like my last, not this one, but the one before the breakup, I like saw a really beautiful gold thread. But like it was a beam of light, and then when I did the cord cutting, it became a really thin thread, like think like Harry Potter, wispy thin. And so it was like one of those things where like we were still connected, but it was like a hairline, and it was something that I like wasn't ready to let go of, and then eventually like it's gone, you know. So I love like visualization for those types of things.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think you should do an episode on breakups. I'm sure lots of people would love to.
I could talk about breakups.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm like put together enough to do it, but I have a lot of tools.
You do.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you've handled this breakup so well now, right?
Yeah, like my first day.
Yeah.
Literally this is day one. So
while you're doing it, you're being distracted, you're seeing all your friends.
I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. Yeah. Sarah has like shown up so much. Like I basically have been like, I texted everyone I knew and I was like, I need help. Aww. And Sarah's been like, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Twice. We hung out twice today.
We did.
It's amazing.
Yeah. No, I think that's like the hard part is like being alone during a breakup. So
That's always, like a thing.
Yeah,
because when I'm with people it's like whatever, and then when I'm alone that's when I'm like no, and I just spiral. But spirals can be fun. Like woo, you know.
Yeah
what else are you up to lately? Like I know you started reading.
Yeah, so I have been such a bookworm. This year maybe less of a rapid pace. I'm a pretty intense person, so if I make a goal then I'll like
you'll do it.
So last year my goal was to read 12 books and I think I read 52. So
like, I wait for the audience pause or people drop their jaw to the floor.
Yeah. I was reading so many books, but really I replaced phone, like screen time with books. So when I went home, we live in like a 3-story townhouse. So I go up to the top floor, plug in my phone and leave it in my bedroom. So I wasn't like scrolling TikTok ever. Anytime there's a pause, I was just replacing that with like reading a book. So it's like amazing how many books you can get through.
I know.
By just replacing your screen time.
You're such a smart person. Like, to begin with, you've always been smart. And so the fact that you read like 52 books in a year, that's a book a week.
It was.
Were you like, when were you like, I'm reading a book a week? Was it like straight in the beginning?
I never made that decision. Like, it was really just to read 12. Mm-hmm. And then I just got so into it.
Yeah.
That it just like was really quick. And it felt so good to like finish a book and then get to the next. And now I've always wanted to be a well-read person. I feel like I'm finally starting to get there. Mm-hmm. I love reading. And then I've really been wanting to get into writing. Mm-hmm. I think it's like been a harder leap for me to make because I always feel like, oh, I haven't read enough books to be a good writer yet.
Right.
Like, how many books does it have to be? I read 52 in a year. I don't know.
And I mean, like, it's just kind of actually starting. I think that's the block, which is funny because you're probably going to be, and I'm sure you are, an incredible writer.
I've always really liked writing essays and stuff in school, for sure. And I've always told stories through whether it's art or architecture or even design. But I think... yeah, I think that's going to be a big step for me. I think it's something that I really need to do creatively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me think. Well, Sarah, thanks for coming on the podcast
today. Thank you for having me this late Saturday night.
I know. I can't believe I kept you up. I'm fading. I'm fading like a light.
Yeah.
Like both. And you don't stay up as late as me. So, yeah, it's amazing.
I know. I can't believe I stayed up till midnight.
It's past midnight. Are you usually okay to drive home?
I feel very energized right now.
Okay, good.
So I'm good.
Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at it's Sarah without an H, S-A-R-A, Croft, C-R-O-F-T.
Yeah, and go check out her fits. Like, they're so good. And her feed.
Oh, thank you.
Feeds and fits.
Feeds and fits. Lots of black outfits for you.
Yeah, lots of info. But it's great. It's great. Yeah. I love it. Cool. Awesome. Until next time.